ABC News, CBS News, CNN, MSNBC, the New York Times, Washington Post, they all told you Hillary had from a 95 to a 99% chance of winning, that she was 20 points ahead in all the polls, and it was all a lie. Those polls are to convince you to give up. They're a fraud. They couldn't assassinate Trump. Their attempt failed, and so now they're trying to assassinate him politically by convincing you that voting for him is a failure. Don't buy the propaganda. Don't buy the gaslighting.
Your consortium has put out a projection of a 99% chance of winning. Is that correct?
Yeah. We should be careful about probabilities this high, because once the probability gets that high, it's not so clear that it matters whether it's 91%, 95%, or 99%. But yes, that's right. The probability is high enough that my side is reporting it is currently above 99%.
And of course, as I predicted months ago, 80-something days from the election, they declare a global health emergency, and instead of calling it monkeypox, which didn't work last year, now it's mpox, and we need the UN treaty and world government, and the UN's openly talking about with their spokespersons sending UN troops into Western countries to make us stay locked down. The globalists are desperate. The world is turning against them. We just have to keep exposing them and not give up, and we will win.
Today, the emergency committee met and advised me that, in its view, the situation constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. I have accepted that advice. The detection and rapid spread of a new clade of mpox in eastern DRC, its detection in neighboring countries that had not previously reported mpox, and the potential for further spread within Africa and beyond is very worrying. In addition to other outbreaks of other clades of mpox in other parts of Africa, it's clear that a coordinated international response is essential to stop these outbreaks and save lives.
A month ago, on July 13th, the deep state tried to physically kill Donald Trump, but they failed. Now they're trying to kill him with fake polls and a total rerun of what we saw in 2016, where Kamala, who's hiding in her basement, suddenly is way ahead in all these polls. But if you look at the methodology of the polls, they're way over polling Democrats, and they're pulling a bunch of other scams as well. You saw this when they said Hillary will win by 99%, 98%, 97%. USA Today, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post, she's undefeatable. But the landslide for Trump was so huge, the dead people voting and the illegal aliens voting and all the rest of it failed. And then in 2020, they had the $450 million from Zuckerberg to go buy the nationwide database of dead people and people that have moved out of district to then have the mail-in ballots. But now people are watching. A lot of states have cracked down on it, and the globalists are in panic mode. Real polls that are out there have Trump about 20 points ahead nationwide, about 10 points in battlegrounds. The problem is Gallup and Rasmussen and others have done polls, and upwards of 14% of the votes happening in the country are illegal aliens. They admit they're voting. So because of the fraud, it is a close race, but only because of the fraud. So let the system gaslight you and brainwash you to believe, oh, Kamala's ahead, Trump's really going to lose, so you don't go out and vote. Everything they're doing is to shape things so you accept a loss if they steal it. They're already saying, oh, he may challenge the results. Well, Democrats always challenge the results. Hell, the U.S. government just said Venezuela stole the election because exit polls showed 65% were for Gonzalez, and the evidence is he did steal it. We have some of the most unfair elections in the world, according to the State Department's own yardstick they use to judge other countries. And that's why they want to censor anybody and shut anybody down that questions this. So they already tried to kill Trump. They've already tried to put him in prison. And now their next big move is to say he's already lost. He's a joke. He has no support. Now, I can break down these polls and show how they're manipulated. And that's being well documented by others. But if you pull back and look at this from a 35,000-foot view, and you actually go out in public and see the support Trump's got, it's incredible.
All right, let's stop right there. This is a longer report. The full thing's up on X. Death by fake polls. MSM attempts to kill Trump with skewed fake polling data after assassination attempt fails. Robert Barnes joins us in 60 seconds.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
The mighty Robert Barnes.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
The always thoughtful and intelligent Robert Barnes is our guest for the rest of the hour. Good friend of mine, constitutional lawyer, also a great historian. Viva Barnes, law.locals.com, and Barnes underscore law on X. And we're going to cover everything. Elon Musk, Trump interview, the escalation with the Ukraine invasion of Russia, NATO endorsing it, the reports coming out. I've talked to my sources. They say they are getting Rikers Island ready on September 18th to throw Trump in jail. Will the higher courts override that? I mean, this is just getting beyond brazen, beyond naked, beyond insane. The skewed polls against Trump, Kamala Harris and wanting to have a price fixing, which always creates shortages and then explosions in prices. I mean, they're not cutting the pipelines off because they're dumb. They want to make you poor. Well, if they can't do that, well, they're gonna shut down production. So they've really got a nasty plan. Naomi Wolf was just on. What a brilliant lady, saying she thinks they're gonna do a red dawn with all the Chinese they brought in. I think that's true. I mean, we're not in normal times. So Robert Barnes, great to have you on with us. Let's tackle first here. So I haven't talked to you in 32 days. I think you came on like a day before they tried to kill Trump. I think you were on the Friday show before it, or maybe the Thursday show. But we haven't talked in over a month. And now they're trying to just put that under the rug, the seismic historic event, and trying to convince us that if they are able to steal the election, that he really lost. That all ties together. So in hindsight, what do you make of this historic event?
Well, one of the individuals who was shot in Butler, Pennsylvania, during the Trump assassination attempt has reached out to me and is looking at, we're potentially looking at representing him to try to get to the actual truth, because a victim of the incident could bring legal actions and claims to discover what really happened, who or what was the culprit that led to his physical injury.
They have standing. Wow, that's big news. So one of the victims that got shot is thinking about lawsuits.
Yeah, to get to the truth, what happened? I mean, was it just this individual? If it was just this individual, did he have help at any level? Did anybody conspire with him? Why did we get such extraordinary security breaches? I mean, the first sign of a staged or false flag event, which people sometimes forget, false flag doesn't mean the event didn't happen. It means that they gave the wrong culprit. It literally comes from when the pirates were trying to get close to somebody else's ship, and they flew a false flag to mislead the ship they were about to pirate. And the same thing is here true. Is it just this sole individual acting alone, in which no security breaches took place, no dereliction of duty by anybody in the federal or state or local government, and that it was solely and wholly that individual's culpability and nobody else shares any culpability, or does somebody else share it? Or is the official story not even accurate at all? I mean, and so what you need is someone who has the legal means, the legal method to get remedy and relief. And the only person who could is someone who also was shot that day. And so one of the individuals who survived, fortunately, is looking at securing legal counsel for the purposes of getting to the truth and defending that person through any inquiry or investigation that occurs in talking to law enforcement. I find it, first of all, we can look at, you know, it's the first sign of a false flag in the sense of the wrong culprit or not the full culprit being identified as we've talked about many times, Alex, is unusual security lapses. Happened on January 6th. Very unusual security lapses. And now we're getting the same security lapses here. There's no dispute about that aspect, that buildings that were supposed to be secure were not secure, that snipers weren't able to load, the counter-sniper team wasn't able to locate people, that there was notification made of a dangerous person with a dangerous weapon on the premises within range of the president, and yet no action was taken to get the president off the stage. Instead, he was sent up on the stage after notice of that information. So we know that there was extraordinary failures. And the only question is, were these failures negligence? Are they actionable negligence? Or are they the part of a deliberate course of conduct by somebody in a position of power to help facilitate it from occurring in the first place? Because, but what we're also getting is completely shut out. We're not getting honest information. We don't even still have a full autopsy out. I mean, basic information we're not getting. Certain photographs and evidence has not been publicly produced.
No press conferences, no nothing. The Secret Service deputy head is now the head, lying to Congress, 90-minute stand down, police pointing out man with a gun, no one's there, no command and control. I mean, this was beyond criminal negligence. This was obviously a stand down, which is another form of false flag.
No doubt. I mean, what you have is, you have today it came out, there was photos of him walking around with his gun, apparently, according to one of the congresswoman, Luna, I believe, put out on X that she's been sent photographs that suggest they knew more than an hour before that he had a gun on the premises right by the building.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's just extraordinary breaches that are inexplicable. I mean, I was watching, remember the Mark Wahlberg movie Sniper?
Excellent.
You know, that whole movie, aside from also being about setting up a fake patsy and the rest, the other component of it was how you had to be so far out because the secured perimeter was always way, you know, this was 15 years ago. It was public knowledge. The secured perimeter went much further than the secured perimeter went here. I mean, they deliberately left abandoned, according to
they left a basically flat roof, the closest building, totally open, while a guy ran around for 90 minutes with a rangefinder and crawled around for at least 20-something minutes with a gun. I mean, you could see Trump speaking, and there's the guy climbing along the roof, and everybody's pointing. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, completely. And how is it that the only place they chose, as Dan Bongino has pointed out, where was the counter-surveillance team that's supposed to be there and take immediate action? We don't have any.
They admit that Ronald Rowe, who lied, said he didn't know who did it, he ordered them not to have that there that day.
Exactly. And then why were the counter sniper teams put next to each other on the same set of buildings that was blocked by a tree from seeing that one building where the greatest risk was, where the sniper was? So, I mean, just things that make no sense. Why were the local police told to stay out of the perimeter and only look at the traffic? There are things that just don't make
sense. Yeah, remember the police had to get vehicles and stuff and tear down the fence to get in.
Exactly.
Let's let the kid with the gun in, parade around for 90 minutes, but don't let the police in here.
Completely. And then, you know, isn't it always convenient? And how is it? Like, one of the things that that could happen is a victim could bring suit against the estate and then use that to do discovery into everything that's being hidden. You know, it's always amazing how these shooters always end up, the supposed sole assassins end up dead. Because dead men tell
no tape. And he also trained at a facility that was the main training facility for DHS. But look, and that's great. You're getting the suit going. That's wonderful. You're involved going after Pfizer or Robert Kennedy. It's wonderful. You're at the tip of the spear. But we, you know, 80-something days of the election, and then you've got the 79 days of hell when he's president-elect. They're going to make another move. Just in general, aren't they going to make a move on Trump, or do they kill Kamala, as Roger Stone and Naomi Wolf and so many others believe they might, you know, get rid of her to have a sympathy situation?
I mean, I think right now they've convinced themselves that their fake polls might work. I think they're going to test out, can we gaslight the world and prove that the media power is so strong that we can get a completely despised candidate who's never received a single primary vote to be even the nominee in her life, not in 2020 or now, and push her over the edge, even in an electoral environment which should be dead for the incumbent party, with the economy that's tanking, with cost and cost of living that's skyrocketing, with immigration completely out of control, with crime spiking, with two different hot flashpoints for a potential world war in both the Middle East and in Europe, and they're escalating on both fronts. They're trying to provoke something with Israel as we and Iran as we speak. and they're trying to provoke escalation by Russia, by having Ukraine invade Russia and publicly claim that Ukraine was the one behind the Nord Stream bombing, when everybody knows it was the U.S. and the U.K., but that's the official narrative coming out from the official organs of the deep state, the New York Times, the Washington Post. So maybe they're going to convince themselves that they can gaslight America into voting for the most disliked candidate under the most impossible conditions to show how powerful they are in manipulating the American public. But if they recognize that their polls are fake, they recognize they can't win an honest election, then the scary thing is, what next? Do they try to lock Trump up in Rikers Island in a couple of weeks?
You're reading my mind. So, yeah, we're simpatico. Let's move to that next. You know, I've got some sources in New York. I saw this yesterday. I called them. They said, yeah, no, they've got a whole wing at Rikers cleared out, ready for him. They're talking to the Secret Service. I guess they're going to be in there with him. I mean, this people say, well, that's over the top. It'll blow up in their face. They don't care. If we follow their past behavior as the greatest indicator of future behavior, what do you think is going to happen on the 18th? And then will higher courts override it?
Yeah, I mean, I think if the judge, my view is this. The question is the judge politically savvy enough to realize that it would probably backfire against the Democratic Party to send Trump to Rikers? That's the question is whether this judge has a self-preservation instinct or not. And it's fairly in doubt because, I mean, this is a judge who has the chutzpah to preside over a case that his daughter is making millions of dollars of fundraising on connected to Trump. I mean, it's just unbelievable. We've never witnessed anything like it. We saw a completely bogus trial, a manipulated case in terms of evidence.
And we got his daughter and all of them are politicos getting money. And we've got him saying, I ignore the law and do what I want to college students. I mean...
Yeah, and we see this in New York. It's not just involving Trump. They just excluded Robert Kennedy from the New York ballot, even though he's lived in New York since he's 10 years old. Even though his legal domicile has always been in New York. But you know, his law license is in New York. He pays tax in New York. Nobody would claim to be a New York resident that wasn't an honest-to-God New York resident.
Because you wouldn't want to because the taxes are so high.
Exactly. That's exactly why. And yet that judge is so sort of clueless to the political backlash that she is excluding Robert Kennedy from even an option for voters in New York. So you get a sense that all the New York judges, I mean, I've done with multiple high-profile cases in New York. I had the so-called Central Park Karen case in New York. I had the Wesley Snipes case in New York. I've had a bunch of New York high-profile cases. And in my experience, the New York judges are the most politically insular and least reliable from a perspective of the law, just follow the law, of any court system in America. I mean, they really are bad. I mean, we've seen it in case after case after case at the state and federal court level. I mean, it's not a coincidence that Stephen Donziger, the environmental lawyer that exposed Chevron corruption and pollution in Ecuador, ended up, because he exposed that in an Ecuador court, he ended up being subject to criminal contempt proceedings by a crazy, corrupt judge out of New York. Guess what? It's the same federal court judge who's presiding over Trump's bogus rape case. So, I mean, so New York is, when you want to do bogus cases, when they did a bogus paternity case against Wesley Snipes, they chose New York. Why? Because New York is known for being so politically corrupted that its courts won't follow the law in political cases. Alan Dershowitz has said this. Jonathan Turley has said this. So, you know, it's across the ideological spectrum. It's known about New York. You know, people like Billy Walters, the great sports gambler, who got railroaded in New York, has said this about the Southern District of New York.
So you're saying even worse than D.C. or like Austin or areas of Connecticut, New York's the worst.
Exactly. Like Austin, New York, Austin, Connecticut, D.C. are like mini-me versions of New York. In the same way like the California Franchise Tax Board is the mini-me of the IRS, but it still could never be as completely evil and corrupt as the IRS. The same is true as bad as Travis County is, as bad as Connecticut is, as bad as D.C. is, they still pale in comparison to the sophistication and aggression of corruption in the New York court system. I mean, that's why I've always found ways to get cases resolved so I never have to rely on a judge in New York. I mean, it's just that bad. I mean, when Robert Kennedy is being railroaded in New York, a historical Democratic state, his father had deep ties to it, was the United States Senator for, you get a sense of how corrupt they are. They just don't care. And so maybe this judge won't care and will try to lock Trump up in Rikers. And we know if it went a certain way, they would try to, you know, the judges in some Democratic hopes would be that he would die. He would be killed because you're subjecting him to the risk of other people in Rikers. I mean, that it's insane. I mean,
let's talk about Merchan, though. Show the video again of him, because they're corrupt, but they're so amateur. Like, who, when he's like, he's seeing a news camera for the first time, he blushes, he laughs, he smiles like he's a little kid getting a first part in a movie. And there's Letitia James sitting back, bugging her eyes out at Trump when she swore to get into office to put him in jail. I mean, they're cartoon characters, and they've really hurt the brand in New York that's already in so much trouble. But like you said, they're in a bubble. They don't seem to care. And so I think, obviously, he gets orders from the Justice Department. We know all these judges have been, except for the one in Florida, have been coordinating with the DNC, with the White House. So, I mean, I would imagine, clearly he's going to – here's the question. Will Obama or the folks in control of the new White House coup over Biden, what are they going to tell him to do? That's really the question.
Well, I think if it's Obama, that whether we're talking about Judge Engoron, the old lunatic there for the cameras, Judge Merchan, Judge Kaplan, the federal court judge, they all are utterly unreliable judges in political cases. However, if you're Obama and the Democratic Party, you've already seen the reaction of the public to these lawfare efforts. It has backfired every single time. You don't want Trump. Trump would be a...
Absolutely. And I was putting Judge Engoron up on screen. I was also talking about other corrupt judges like, this Juan Merchan. I mean, go back to your point, but clearly it's come out, they're like taking orders. I mean, a lot of them are admittedly having secret meetings like in Georgia with the Justice Department.
I mean, yeah, Judge Merchan just recently refused to recuse himself after Judge Engoron refused to recuse himself, after Judge Kaplan refused to recuse themselves. I mean, it's whether it's the federal court, the civil court, the state court, the criminal court, they're all a joke. But I think Merchan of the bunch is the most politically astute. So, he's the one whose kid is raising all the money related to this case. So making, pocketing huge cash. And who, by the way, is told the Jim Jordan that they're going to refuse to turn over documents that have now been subpoenaed relevant to what's going on. Steve Bannon is in prison right now for asserting executive privilege. Here you have people totally ignoring subpoenas, and yet the Justice Department's been doing nothing about it. But I think there'll be, if you're Obama, you don't want Trump to look like Nelson Mandela. And Trump has already made it clear he's going to make himself Nelson Mandela if they send him to Rikers, that he'll embrace the opportunity. So I think Democrats, if they're politically smart, will either postpone that sentencing, or they'll issue a mistrial order and say we have to do the trial all over again because of the Supreme Court ruling. My guess is this judge weasels out of that decision happening during election season because the Democratic higher-ups think it's backfired on them so far.
I think you're probably right. You're usually right. But they're also so arrogant. They're so crazy. What do you think they thought when their assassination attempt failed?
I think they panicked. And it was like, okay, let's knock Joe off. And apparently they tried to in Las Vegas. And that scared him enough to push
him out. Let's talk about
election.
That, because Charlie Kirk broke that the day of, and there was a conspiracy theory, but later it's come out, medical emergency. He disappears for 8 days, into Delaware. Then he comes out looking all drugged up, and then he said things, like when they said, why'd you step down? He laughed at first and said, I didn't. Now he says they forced him out. Pelosi basically admits that letter I don't think was real. Looks like we're seeing some cover the butts thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. If there's one place to try to knock off a president, Vegas is probably the place to try to do it. And it looks like something happened because it was a medical emergency of extraordinary kind. And is it a coincidence that a weekend later he suddenly steps down? So we don't even see him announce that decision. It gets issued by his, whoever runs his Twitter account. And then he gives a speech about a week later in which he mentions Kamala Harris by name a single time. So it clearly wasn't his idea to step down.
So we're already in the coup with different factions fighting for control. Who's in control, and what do they pull next?
Well, I think there's competition. I mean, Obama made clear when he publicly did not endorse Harris right out of the gate that he didn't want Harris. And the Harris, it looks like, outmaneuvered him. She got the Clinton machine to back him up. She got Pete Buttigieg to back her up. She coerced the Democratic National Committee and got Biden to back her up and got the Democratic National Committee.
And so that's why the Justice Department's going after Hunter and Biden now, because they didn't roll over.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I think that Obama, she did not want to run the risk that this convention coming up. I mean, we still might see a remake of 1968. The Palestinian protesters and these hard left protesters are every bit as rambunctious as the 1968 protest. And Obama has been, there's been lawsuits filed in Chicago, and Obama has been orchestrating with the, and his people have been orchestrating with the police in Chicago to their Grant Park solution is don't allow anybody in Grant Park. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to force people so far away from the convention. You remember the 2016 convention in Philly? Remember, we couldn't get anywhere near it. I mean, we were at the Cleveland convention in 2016. You could get access to almost anybody. Go down to Philly, it was like 10 miles of you know, like you're at Guantanamo or something. And they're trying to do the same thing in Chicago. Harris has locked down the party so they can't do a contested convention. Despite Waltz, a lot of people in Harris camp wanting to jettison Waltz and sub in somebody else at the last minute because the guy's a worse pathological liar than Biden is. When it not just the army stuff, but he just lies. He makes stuff up randomly about places he's been and things he's done that he's never been and he's never done. And so that's just a constant, continuous embarrassment. And the imitation campaign she's running, where whatever Trump does, she just imitates it. So, you know, Trump says, hey, I'm going to do a no tax on tip. She says she's going to do no tax on tip. Trump says we got to get control over inflation in the border. She says she'll now get tough on the border and comes up with price controls as her inflation solution, as if she's not in the White House. And then they even leak out Robert Kennedy wants to endorse her. Totally fake news. It was the Washington Post. Robert Kennedy had no such conversations with her or her campaign. But she saw that Robert Kennedy was talking to Trump about possibly doing that a month ago. At least that's what the news stories leaked. And so she wanted to imitate it and replicate it. I mean, she's running like a mini-me version of Trump campaign, a shadow campaign that tries to imitate Trump. I just don't think long-term it can work. And the question is, what happens if the deep state realizes in mid-October, early October, hey, this isn't working, that our gaslighting campaign isn't flying. The American people are not going to accept the terrible economy and out-of-control border in World War III. They know with Trump, they got peace abroad and prosperity at home. They know with Biden and Harris, they got war abroad and poverty at home. And that's usually insurmountable for an incumbent party to survive. So what happens when they see that? And I think that's what scares people. We've seen a coup of an elected president, someone who never got a primary vote, anointed by acclamation. I mean, even Humphrey had to get the convention votes. He didn't get anointed by acclamation. Even Humphrey had previous votes in support, and that was after Robert Kennedy Sr. had been assassinated, not just removed in a coup like Biden was. So we're seeing things and assassination attempts and coups in the White House that we've never witnessed before. After we saw craziness with the pandemic, we got attempts to escalate with Iran. We got attempts to escalate with Ukraine and Russia. So it might be a scary time period over the next 2 months. I think what I'm most worried about right now is they might try to create a rally around the flag effect and try to provoke Russia into using some form of nuclear weapons against Ukraine by invading Russia.
Well, that was my next question. You're always over the target, Robert Barnes. We come back. What are the black swan events they can pull versus, if you're advising Trump, which I know you have some, what should Trump do as his golden swan event? You know, how do we counter the black swan with the golden swan, a term I'm inventing here? I mean, you know, with something good to get ahead of this. And I've got my ideas. We'll get your ideas when we come back. Be sure and follow him on X at Barnes_law and VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com. He co-hosts an amazing show with Viva Fry. He was on with us yesterday. One of my favorite people. Robert Barnes is our guest. We're very honored you're here on this live Thursday, August 15th, 2024 transmission. Remember, whether you're listening to local AM and FM stations or Infowars.com/show or band.video or on Real Alex Jones, share the links. It's how we win. You are the Paul Revere's. An Infowars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings of vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc. with Rose Hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
A limited edition, exclusive, InfoWars proprietary, 24-carat, .999, pure gold collectible is now available. In this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art, this is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight-up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
Your grandma died all alone in the hospital. Your wife was fired over a mandate. Your teenage son has heart problems. You lost your business. They kicked you off of social media. Your two-year-old was forced to wear a mask. And now they want you to forget about the whole thing. Oh, hell no. We will never forget.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Well, I was thumbing from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When a stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac.
He was dressed like 1950.
He was dressed like 1950. Half drunk and hollow-eyed. He said it's a long walk to Nashville.
Would you like to ride, son?
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Sat down in the front seat. He turned on the radio. And them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light. And I knew there was something strange about this ride.
He said, son.
He said, drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Can you bend them strings?
Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? He said, boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? Cause if you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride.
Well, it's a long, hard ride for Trump, but he's tougher than ever. Barnes, I haven't talked to you since like a few days before they tried to kill Trump. So I want to go back to that briefly and then unpack all the geopolitical things and black swans and how do we counter that. But, I mean, look, I know people that know Trump. I know Trump well. The guy's 78 years old. He works 18 hours a day. he'll eat two steaks and five lobster tails for dinner. The guy is, he'll do five campaign rallies a day. He'll go through all this hell and attack, and he just gets stronger. And then he moves his head, and he almost kills him. I mean, you can see the hand of God here. This guy is a damn machine. And they are so scared he's going to get in. That's why I'm so concerned, because the globalists are reckless. And Jamie Raskin saying we're going to have civil war before we let Trump in. He's one of their top tacticians, as you know. What were you thinking? Where were you when Trump almost got killed? And let's get into black swans and how, you know, how we counter this. But I mean, I've got a lot of optimism on one side, but that makes the enemy even more desperate because we are winning.
I mean, it was shocking watching it live. I mean, I tuned in to watch it and saw it happen live and was shocked at everything that was witnessed, because I thought there was a risk of it. But I thought that, you know, after the combined backlash they got from assassinating Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, you know, four major assassinations in just 5 years of major American political leaders. And then they took out Nixon with Watergate, and it backfired on them as the American public became skeptical that something was AWOL at the heart of our government. We went from 80% confidence in the government to 30% in a decade, from 1963 to 1974. And that produced the Church Commission, which exposed MKUltra, which exposed the Assassinations Commission, which exposed their complicity and involvement in assassinations, not only here in the United States, but around the world. There was, you know, that's when Mark Felt, the head of COINTELPRO, who was deep throat, but was really a deep throat, deep state coup against Nixon, got, you know, indicted and thrown out of the FBI. They were starting to de-Hooverize the FBI, the massive CIA layoffs that took place during that time period. I mean, they may have helped with Iran-Contra and everything that happened in 1980, but basically for about a half decade, the deep state was out of power, and it seemed like they had learned their lesson that overt coups of the elected president, that overt attempts to kill a future president would backfire on them if the American people grew suspicious. But here in back-to-back weeks, within the same month, we've had an unprecedented coup of an elected president against, in this case, Joe Biden, and an attempted assassination of the would-be president, Donald Trump.
And now Ukraine has invaded Russia and NATO's endorsed it. The race is on.
I mean, and they seem to want to escalate Russia. I think they want Russia to use tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine. They want to escalate. They want a full-scale war, because look at what they did at the same time. They authorized Ukraine to literally invade Russia's terror territory and engage in a domestic terror campaign against the Russian people in Kursk and those regions. And at the same time, they leaked that the Nord Stream was blown up by Zelensky and that the CIA told him not to do it, and he did it anyway.
And it's like putting two pit bulls in a cage, getting them to fight. That's
exactly clearly what's going on. I think they thought they would have already provoked Putin to do something that could lead to a broader global
war. And they're trying to put pressure on him with Russian hardliners. That's being pushed by the New York Times. Like, ooh, Putin's in trouble. He's a wimp. I don't think the Russians are going to buy this. I think the Russians see through this.
I mean, that's the fortunate thing. We've had to rely upon the self-restraint of Putin and the risk-averse alert nature of the Iranians to avoid World War III. I mean, it's amazing who we're having to rely upon to do this. But you know, it's even worse involving Iran. I mean, they clearly keep wanting to provoke Iran into escalating in such a way against Israel that they can justify a global conflict. And look at how they keep, you know, Iran supposedly hacks Trump's emails. They blamed Iran, remember, for the attempted assassination.
Oh, I predicted 2 days before they do that on the assassination attempt day. And then they're today saying there's Iranian plots to kill Trump.
And look at how that was totally set up. Like, days before that assassination attempt is when they had that guy in custody that they were going to blame. And you dig in, and it's the same setup events they used to do after 9/11, where they would get some, you know, mentally deficient local Arab guy, Muslim guy, to agree to do something he could never achieve.
Just like the Whitmer kidnapping, same stuff.
Exactly. And everything about that case where they were saying he was working with Iran to assassinate Trump. And by the way, where was it that they arrested him? Philadelphia, right? I mean, this was clear, more evidence that this was a deliberate setup. I think the original plan was assassinate Trump, blame Iran, Biden goes to war in Iran, Nikki Haley and Mitch McConnell and Mike Pompeo are already at the Republican convention. And in honor of Trump, they nominate Nikki Haley. Mike Pompeo would be the vice president. Mitch McConnell would help put it over the top to take on Iran. Biden uses it as a pretext to go to war in Iran. So that either way, the deep state wins. They either win because there's a rally around the flag effect with Biden with war in Iran, or they win because Nikki Haley's the Republican nominee. So I think the deep state had it all lined up. And, you know, whatever people want to attribute to, whether it's good fortune or God's blessing, Trump turned his head right at the right time that took away those plans. And now the question is, what's plan B? We saw part of plan B. It's, you know, shove Uncle Joe off the train. But now they're stuck with Kamala, and they're trying to see, can we gaslight the world into thinking she's the best of Hillary and the best of Obama, when she's actually the worst of Hillary and the worst of Obama? And can we lie to ourselves?
And they tried that in 2016, and it failed. Do people remember how fake these polls are?
No, it's amazing how many conservatives have totally forgot. There are people sending me things saying, oh, Robert, you should be concerned about the polls. So, and I'm like, if I was in the Harris camp, I'd be concerned. Because, you know, Richard Barris and I do a show called What Are the Odds? He's people's pundit. He's the big data guy. He's the best pollster in the country for the last decade. People can follow him at People's Pundit, either YouTube, Rumble, you know, Twitter, where locals, wherever. And his polling data shows that Trump has an excellent shot to win. And his polling data showed it was going to be dead close in both 2016 and 2020, and he was dead on. The fake polls are showing Harris with a smaller lead than those exact same fake media polls showed in 2020. For people forget, Biden was supposedly up 13 points, supposedly up 17 points in Wisconsin, supposedly up 13 points in Pennsylvania, supposedly up 12 points in Michigan.
And same thing with Hillary, 98% chance she'd win. Washington Post, CNN, all made up crap.
Yeah, exactly. 98.3. I remember because I was in Dublin placing the last of my big bets on Trump. And I had people texting me that had inside information about even the exit polls. On election day, they're like, oh, you got to get
out of the benchmark. By the way, you're recognized, even before you got famous for politics, as the most successful political bettor in the world. I'm sure there's secret ones that are probably bigger, but you're quite a whale. Go back to making that famous bet on Trump.
Yeah, I mean, I took every penny, nickel, diamond, dollar I had, went over to England, because that was the only place you could legally place the bet. Placed it in small sports books all across London, and then went up to Dublin to place the rest of the bet. And it was all on Trump to win, and nobody over there thought he could win. There were newspaper articles on election day, because they print earlier in England, about 8 hours in advance because of the clock, that were explaining how Hillary won.
Remember Newsweek printed 250,000 magazines days before saying, Madam President, how she won.
Exactly. I mean, so I was reading it. And so all these people were telling me, and I was like, I had been through, I remember being with you in Cleveland, watching you and Roger Stone having fun down at the Republican convention. I remember that little boat by the river where the convention was. Yeah, exactly. So, that was a lot of fun. But the zeitgeist was great. And then I traveled through Western Ohio and Western Pennsylvania, talked to working class people and realized the Democratic Party had collapsed because they no longer cared about working class people. They now think the J.D. Vances of the world are weird. They think the ordinary working class person from middle America is weird. And they think men beating up women, as you know, used to be called domestic violence. Now it's called Olympics boxing. That's not weird. They don't think Kamala Harris, whose father is a communist, mother was from India, grew up in Canada, has almost no connection to America.
Witch's laugh that even Hollywood actresses can't do. But going back to 2016, I got a lot of love then supporting Trump. I got a lot of hate once he got elected. I go months without being confronted now. I get over the top love in the streets. Let's not exaggerate. 5 times what it ever was. So just as a gauge, being someone well known, that shows me landslide right there. I mean,
oh yeah, everything about this points to landslide. You look at the underlying economic numbers, you know, the cost of living. You have a combined cost of living crisis and jobs crisis for young working class people. That's the reason why Latino and African American young voters, millennials and Zoomers, have been departing from the Democratic Party at a record-setting rate over the last 4 years. If that's where Trump's in perfect position. because all these people know what a Trump presidency looks like. It looks like peace. It looks like prosperity. When Harris is going around saying we won't go back, trying to play on Hillary's 2016 campaign, a lot of people are like, please take me back to prior to the pandemic. That's when the economy was good. That's when we had peace abroad. That's what I want. I want 2019. I don't want the last 5 years.
Well, let's shift gears. Over a billion views on Elon Musk Trump Monday. They hit with DDoS attacks, so the media spun it out. It was a failure, but CNN's top show has a million. The Super Bowl has 100-something million. I sent you guys a meme I want to put on screen. It's Trump and the Elon Musk interview as a Great Dane, and then the Super Bowl is a little bitty kitty cat. It's the next biggest thing. I mean, this – I posted it on X, guys, so you can put it up. This was a big, big deal, and Elon said that exact same thing. He said, with you, Trump, there's prosperity. With Kamala, there's the opposite. It's so simple.
Yeah, absolutely it is. I mean, the fact they've lost the Elon Musk of the world, I mean, the war on crypto was just an incredibly dumb decision by the Biden administration. And the war on people like Elon Musk, anybody that was independent, if you had a dissident voice, it didn't matter whether you were on the right, on the left, didn't matter. If you were a dissident, you were going to be crushed. And what that did is it red-pilled Elon Musk. It red-pilled David Sachs. It red-pilled a bunch of people in Silicon Valley. It red-pilled the Winklevoss twins. I mean, those people are on a daily basis now mocking Kamala Harris as policies.
I mean, Brett Weinstein, Jimmy Dore, Russell Brand, Joe Rogan. It just goes on and on and on.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Dore is a perfect example. Because, I mean, you remember 2016. That was with the great at the convention. You got to have a little fun there with the Young Turks. And remember, Jimmy Dore was climbing the walls and screaming and yelling.
Well, no, he spit iced tea. I've had two men's saliva in my mouth in my life. I've had Jimmy Dore's saliva because he spit. He's like three, right. I'm talking. He spits right in my mouth. So I've had Jimmy Dore's saliva and I've had Willie Nelson's in my mouth. And I didn't like with Willie Nelson. It was conscious. He's got this big vape super bong before those were popular. I'm not a big weed guy, but when you're with Willie Nelson, you do it. And we're having we're playing chess for hours. We do this a lot. And he would just hand it to you. And I was embarrassed to wipe the spit off. So I went at it. It's Willie Nelson. I did it. But yeah, that's it. I've had Jimmy Dore and Willie Nelson spit in my mouth, swapping spit.
Exactly. And contrast that to 2024, where the Young Turks is being critical of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Jimmy Dore is totally off the reservation of support of those people. The Robert Kennedy is criticizing them on a daily basis, running as an independent candidate. So the loss of the Winklevoss twins and these other folks, they've lost ordinary. And then you look at the zeitgeist, what you're talking about, being out in the street. You could be on TikTok. You could be on X. You could be on these other social media platforms, YouTube. You're not seeing a bunch of rap videos saying that, you know, like Snoop Dogg wanting to shoot Trump. Instead, you're seeing rap musicians come out and endorse Trump. You're coming to come out and make fun of Kamala Harris. You go to CBS goes to a black barbershop in Pennsylvania, and they're like, Kamala ain't black. Everybody knows she ain't black. I mean, that's the instinctual response of the black community. So there's so much energy in support of Trump that it's going to be outside the margin of fraud for them. So I think what scares people is what happens when they realize that. And I think our biggest risk is escalation with Ukraine or Iran, that they may think World War III is enough of a distraction that they could push Trump out. Because otherwise it's hard to see what they're going to come up with, because the American people have made up their mind and they're not going to Kamala Harris. She can pretend she's not in the White House. She can pretend that she's not been elected to office, but everybody knows she has been. And even with the most positive coverage ever, and remember, she's the first person ever that's getting all the favorable coverage without any hints. Because every other Democratic candidate has been through primaries before. Hubert Humphrey was in 1960 before he was VP in 1968. So she's never been through.
She's been literally selected. So they steal the election, yeah, exactly. Give it to Biden, but you can still argue that. But with her, it's cut and dry. This is a coup.
Oh, completely. It's the Politburo. It's the Politburo getting together and making a decision. And so
So what should Trump do to counter black swans? What are the black swans? You already said Russia. Power outages, cyber attacks, stock market crashes. What else? What should Trump do to counter that? And I love people I respect, like Roger Stone, Naomi Wolf. We've had a bunch of other big guests on who've been saying they believe they may still try to remove Kamala.
There's still risk. If I was Trump, do what he's doing. Call it out in advance. Call out World War III in advance. Call out these other strategies in advance. Continue to call out what took place there. But hammer your core messaging. of with Trump, peace abroad, prosperity at home. You know what happens without Trump. Without Trump, you get war abroad and poverty at home. So put that on them so that if they do anything that escalates the war risk, escalates the immigration risk, escalates a stolen election risk, it puts them in the worst possible position politically with voters. The second thing, and I thought this was critical, he needed to get rid of the saboteurs running his campaign. So, you know, people like Chris LaCivita, people like Susie Wiles, these people who are undermining his campaign, they were attacking good people like Paul Dans. Paul Dans is a great guy. No, he was a true blue. He was Trump before Trump. He was MAGA before MAGA. And he's the reason they went after Project 2025 was because he was part of it that wanted to take out the administrative state, and all the lobbyist pals of Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles didn't want that. Susie Wiles lobbies for Pfizer. Susie Wiles didn't want Trump to do what he did when he called up Robert Kennedy and said, we need to take a look at all the crazy things happening with vaccines, because she's a Pfizer lobbyist. So today, great news, he's bringing back Corey Lewandowski, and he's going to let Corey Lewandowski run the show and put those people back in their place. And hopefully more steps like that are taken. The legal team needs to be a lot better on the Republican side in anticipation of the election. The data team needs to be a lot better. Use people like Scott Pressler are doing great work up in Pennsylvania and other places. Registering people like the Amish, who there's an ongoing political lawfare against them. Not only here, but it's happening in Canada. Rebel News reporting today that because the Amish wouldn't download an app and they don't use technology, they're being fined and leaned a bunch of money, and now Trudeau's trying to steal their farm. And they're trying to do the same thing to Amish farmers here in America. They're trying to do it.
And that's an example of the cashless society. In fact, I want to play this clip, but I've checked this. It's clip one. This is true. And I see this at airports. I see this everywhere. They're rolling out these kiosk ATMs and these self-serve restaurants where you go to some airports, there's no humans. And of course, half the robot things don't work. But this is what BlackRock's funding ahead of the collapse of bringing in their central bank digital currencies. Here's a clip in the United States of the new ATM machines. Here it is.
Okay, so here we have the new ATMs here at UBA Credit Union in Berkmar in Charlottesville, Virginia. Looks like they're made by Hyosung, but the thing that looks kind of like the buildings there in Wuhan, China. This looks like a bar to possibly scan your license plate or your vehicle. Down here we have ID card scan, I assume, for vaccination cards. Over here, we have a palm vein scan, which looks like possible microchips. And so what they're going to do is they're going to require mandatory vaccinations for all Americans and all of your children. And if you do not, you know, comply with them, then they're not going to allow you to have access to your money. They will take your children. You will not have any kind of benefits, but they will give you the option to opt out, to give you free will to make this your own choice.
So go back over what they're doing to the Amish. They've been trying to make them sign up digitally, make them have phones, make them have apps. This is a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. So what Justin Trudeau did says, yeah, everybody has to have an app. The Amish don't use technology for religious reasons. They don't use phones. They don't use online technology. They're not on the internet. They don't have computers. None of it. In fact, they don't even have electricity. So, for example,
and they also live 10 years longer and don't get autism.
Exactly right. I mean, they're off the Bill Gates dystopian control grid. Big pharma, big tech, big food, big media that he has so much influence and control over that he wants all of us stuck on. They are the exit ramp off of that. That if other people follow and imitate, can be as successful as they have been in their psychological well-being and their physical and medical well-being. And that's why the state of Pennsylvania is waging war on them. Right now, I'm in Pennsylvania court. They're trying to shut down Amos Miller from shipping anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. They're claiming the right to control all food if it ever touches the Pennsylvania border. That's how insane it is. In Canada, they're saying you got to be on our technology or you're done. Take a look. Look at smart meters. Look at everything that's happening with smart meters. They're putting on under the name of electric utility measurement. They're spying on you and reporting that information to people, and it's causing health problems the same way 5G towers are causing health problems. But the goal is control, control at all costs. But you know who doesn't have smart meters? The Amish. Why? Because they don't have electricity in their house. They use, you know, propane gas and things like that. So because they're off, they're outside the educational system, outside the media system, outside the Hollywood system, outside of big pharma. They don't use anywhere near the level of medications and vaccines that everybody else does. Outside of big food, they're not buying corporate processed food. They're getting food that's organically made, authentically made, the way they've been making it for generations. They are living longer, happier, healthier, wealthier lives than the rest of us. And if you're Bill Gates, you can't have a control group showing how dangerous his control grid is. And that's why there's a staged political warfare against them. You got NBC making up fake shows, saying the Amish are a secret cultish group that has all this secret abuse going on. It's all hogwash. But you're seeing hit piece after hit piece after hit piece. The same way you knew they were coming for Alex Jones when they started running caricatured versions of you on Homeland. It was a sign, okay, this is how coordinated this is. So they're trying to demonize them in the court of public opinion, trying to criminalize their everyday behavior, trying to shut them down unless they have the licenses and permits that they require. If you're not on our big, they use the licensing and permitting process to control people. You want access to the banks? You got to now, you have a biometric ID. You want to have access to fly a plane? You got to have a biometric ID.
You want access to a biometric ID? You've got to agree to all our political views.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the ultimate next step. I mean, we've seen, you've been warning about it for 10 years. We've been seeing in China the example they want to set for the world. And that's precisely what we're going to see coming. And that's why Trump's election is so essential. And that's what the deep state knows. What could keep us off of that dystopian Bill Gates control grid is a Trump election moving in a populist direction away from this control grid nightmare, dystopian nightmare that they want to impose on.
Because that would be more than just a speed bump. It could be an off-ramp.
Absolutely. Trump is like the Amish. Electing Trump is like buying from AmosMillerOrganicFarm.com. It's getting the exit ramp from the Bill Gates control grid. And that's why they're putting so much effort to prohibit us, the American people, whether it's people in New York can't vote for Robert Kennedy if they want because they decided to exclude him from the ballot, or it's attempts to assassinate and remove President Trump because he's a threat.
No, I agree. In the 60 seconds we have left, obviously, unless they kill Trump or the fraud's too huge, he's going to win. What do they do when he is president-elect in 80-something days?
That's why I think Trump's got to be ready to go full scale. He's got to do what J.D. Vance has recommended. He's got to do what Paul Danz has recommended. He's got to do what Roger Stone has recommended. It's what Roger Stone recommended back in 2016 when he got in. You got to just fire everybody. Fire them. You cannot leave saboteurs in key positions of power. You know, it's like Hunt for Red October. You know, there they didn't know who the saboteurs were and couldn't kick everybody off the ship. But here, you know going in, anybody left over is a saboteur. So you got to go in and fire. He's got to go back to the Celebrity Apprentice. What, look around?
Yeah, I'm sorry if some people are collateral damage. Just fire.
Yeah, like you said, Celebrity Apprentice. Just go in and say, you're fired. That's his only hope of having a successful second term.
All right, Robert Barnes, thank you so much. People follow you on X at Barnes_Law. Thank you so much, brother.
Glad to be here.
Great job. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I hate to use this analogy, but truth is the way to go, so I'll just use it. I remember growing up with all four of my grandparents. And first my dad's dad died, and then his mother died, and then my mother's father died, and my mother's mother died. And they were all amazing, and you think they're always going to be there. But one day they're dead. Well, it's the same thing with InfoWars. We've barely survived in the last few years, like right up to millimeters. And people then go, well, you're still on air. You must be invincible. We are shot up. The operation is bleeding to death. And that's okay. We've done our mission, and we're going to continue on even if this operation shut down. But that said, I don't want to prove to you by not going 100% and us shutting down that I wasn't BSing about this. We are very, very, very close to being shut down. And literally, the final products we have in come in at InfoWarsStore.com could be the last time you get them. Now, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, a lot of strategy. There's a good chance, 50-50, we can stay on air. But if we don't get funding, we will shut down. I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get amazing products. Now, these three have been bestsellers. And these are the last runs of them, unless we get a deal done in the next few months. So we have Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We have the Vitamin C with Zinc and the Rose Hips that's so incredible. And we have Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, all discounted. But this could easily be the final run. So I need your support, plus they're great products. Get it today at InfoWarsStore.com. And while you're there, get a book, get a film, get a t-shirt, whatever you do, share the article, share the videos, and pray for the broadcast. You've kept us on air this long, and I'm very thankful to all of you. But we are now at go moment here with this election, everything going on. We need your support now. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and support us in this critical time.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.